You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here, and welcome again to another edition of a Husker Online show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washa. We got new mic stands. Robin, what do you think?
They're about as deluxe as you could possibly imagine. I have so much range. I could put this anywhere, and we're going to be good to go.
This is how we tell one guy in the YouTube comments say, you got to fix your mic problems. And I go, what do you mean mic problems? We got the best mics you can have for a studio. He didn't like our stand. So I went back, took your challenge. We invested in even better stands we had before. So no longer will you get that awkward mic angle and let your imagination go where you want on Robin's face that we had before. We've got more of a universal mic angle going here today for you, Robin.
That's a pretty good request. I'm just jumping to somebody's request. I have some requests, too.
Yeah, don't challenge Sean.
Hey, I brought you lunch for the second meeting in a row. But
what is that exactly that I just ate?
Hot Italian beef sandwiches.
It is really good, too. I mean, that is the best sandwich I've had in a long time, and I'm not joking around here.
Got the recipe from TikTok. All the ingredients.
You get a lot from TikTok.
All the ingredients.
He sends me a lot from TikTok.
All right. Well, let's get back in.
Joe Rogan.
You're listening to the Husker Online show. Lots going on, as you know, and no doubt opening headline of the week. Dylan Raiola commits to Georgia, and, I mean, it just had the feel like this was one of those things that you knew was coming. It was a matter of when. It was a matter of could Nebraska stay in this fight another round? I mean, the fight kind of kept going another round. Could they get it into June, maybe get a visit? I think that was your only hope. But what I know about Georgia is they have a big visit weekend on May 20th with a lot of high-value guys coming in. Dylan Raiola is expected to be there. Then he'll be back again in early June for his official, which is their other main recruiting weekend. So I think – you know, there was a little strategy on getting his commitment now because of what's on tap for Georgia. But give Kirby Smart credit. I mean, they're 34-1 their last 35 games. They offered Dylan Raiola first over everybody else as a freshman. And this was not a no-brainer freshman offer. This is a freshman that played JV football back in Burleson, Texas, that they saw at a camp. And Nebraska saw a week later. They offered right after Georgia when they saw him in person. But Kirby Smart has been on the Dylan Raiola train from day one, and he finishes it off landing his commitment here this week.
In some ways, it's incredibly predictable. I mean, and I'll try to offer some level of intrigue to this discussion. It's really difficult. It's kind of difficult to keep it interesting. The one thing that Dominic Raiola, his father, said to me.
After the commit.
No.
No, before.
This was in February. Remember late February when they made an unofficial, the Raiola family, well, Dominic and his son, Dylan, made an unofficial visit to a Nebraska basketball game. They were here to visit Donovan during a dead period. And what made the most meaningful comment that Dominic made to me in the, I'll say the late stages of all this was, I'm just glad we're in the hunt. Nebraska. And that just told me, okay, that's it. All the talk about, you know, there have got a lot of guys in the media market saying, hey, I think he's a silent to Nebraska. And remember, there was that Sunday where we were halfway convinced he was going to commit to Nebraska.
Like I pulled off the road and pulled my computer out.
Right. But I remember telling you, well, Sean, I don't know what to tell you except Dominic just said, I'm glad we're in the hunt. that doesn't sound like a commitment. And, you know, I was a little annoyed at the time. Like, why is everybody saying he's committed? His dad just literally told me, I'm glad Nebraska.
It was Hayes. I mean, our Hayes Fawcett from On Three.
Yeah.
Teased an edit coming out.
Right. So Nebraska was in the hunt. But I don't know how if they were ever in the lead. The other thing I'd say is I think back on all this, Rob, is they visited that Georgia campus so many times unofficially.
They went to the national championship game to watch Georgia.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about two summers ago, they would always go for baseball stuff. So they would always go to Atlanta for baseball stuff for his younger son.
Dayton,
who's a great baseball player. Great.
Dylan was too.
So they would always be doing baseball stuff, and they would always go into Athens. And Dominic would talk about, man, we just love going into Athens. We love Georgia. And I always was like, yeah, that's going to be tough to beat. That's all. That's what I got to say about it.
At what point for you guys did it become clear that Nebraska was not going to be – like they were out of it?
I mean, maybe
not entirely out of it, but like you knew he wasn't coming here.
After the March 25th weekend, where Nebraska had over 20 guys in with offers, it was extremely quiet with him after that visit. There were no interviews really given, no glowing comments and quotes.
Yeah, that's
And then there wasn't – I mean, that was a big weekend.
That was about the time, yeah. And Sean, that is about it.
And then April 22nd was the spring game. He didn't come for the spring game. And then he announced – one official visit to Georgia, and that was it.
So Sean and I are on the same page here. For me, it was right at the start of spring ball around that time. So that's what you're talking about. Yeah. I had heard some things within Nebraska's program that led me to believe that they were not – that it wasn't – like Robbie put it really well. I mean, you never say never in that situation, but it felt like this ain't happening. So
I never really felt comfortable putting – you know, there are people that put these picks in for him at other
times. I don't know where that came from.
And I just don't – I never – and, you know, one of those picks to Nebraska led a firestorm of – I'd use another word, but we're on a podcast right now. You can cuss
another kind of storm.
We're carrying on radio affiliates, so I got to be careful. But it led to a lot of schools calling the Rialas, like, thinking he was committing to – I mean, it almost was like misguided information.
I don't know. I never got the feeling that they were – like I said, all I got to say about that is I never – ever got the feeling that they were in the lead. That Nebraska was in the lead. Never. And maybe only because of that there was some projections that way. And I was like, oh. But I would always contrast that with what I was hearing from Dominic. And it never matched up. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, okay, then. But you never know in those things. Maybe you're just not getting the right information.
Let me ask both you guys this question. If they don't keep his brother, Dominic's brother, Donovan, on this coaching staff. Are we even this far along? Does it even get to almost Memorial Day weekend with Dylan Rialla? You think no Donovan Rialla, they're still looking at Nebraska. Well, one thing would never have happened. That dead period visit couldn't have happened.
Right. True. Couldn't have happened.
Correct.
Could not have happened.
The pinnacle of his recruiting, the Pinnacle Bank Arena, where he gets up and gets a standing ovation, trotted out on the floor.
Was he trotted out on the floor?
By Trev Alberts.
Leading him through past the students.
Leading him just to courtside seats that happen to be open.
I think the part of this that is very real to me, is Dominic Rialla loves Nebraska. And that's why I answer, I don't think the Donovan matter would have altered it. Or would alter it that much at all. Dominic loves it. Dominic would love for his son to go here.
The perception, if he picked...
It's real. That is a real, genuine love.
Now, if he would have picked Nebraska, I think there would have been a lot of shock nationally. Get out of our little bubble here. There would have been a lot of people like, wow, this young man...
What are you doing?
Is willing to risk it all to save his father's alma mater.
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing?
Well, especially just compared to the schools that, I mean... Not just Georgia, but USC, and just what, from a football standpoint and a professional aspiration standpoint, what they're offering compared to what Nebraska has been doing of late, it just didn't even seem in the same universe. No, to be quite honest,
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Now, I mean,
so
now
the timing's not great. Mm-hmm. The timing's not great for Nebraska in this conversation. It's not 34-1. right? 34-1.
Offer number one.
Kirby's leading the recruitment, which I guess people are saying.
His entire two deep has been drafted since the last 2 years.
Yeah. It's not good timing. No. Nebraska is clearly in full rebuild now, right?
Well, now can they get a quarterback? Mm-hmm. And not just a quarterback, a quality quarterback. And generally, year one of a head coach is when you go out and you try to get, you know, kind of your, you know, you do what Bill Callahan did. And, I mean, this is a bad example, but you get Harrison Beck. Mm-hmm. You know, they also got Zach Taylor, though, that year one, that full year one. Not the 04 class, but the 05 class.
We didn't
class.
Know how – I mean, Harrison was a highly
– He was a top quarterback in Florida, and then they paired him up with Zach Taylor. So Jeff Sims could be the Zach Taylor already for Matt Rhule, but who's the high school guy? Daniel Kalen maybe would have come here. You know, Dante Reno was Marcus Satterfield's guy at South Carolina. McClellan from Alabama doesn't have an offer. He could come. Can they get one of those guys? Or can you sit back and wait and maybe some coaching changes happen and some drama happens in college football where a pretty good quarterback all of a sudden becomes available? I don't know. I mean, Matt Rhule is in a tough spot because they had to wait on Dylan Raiola.
I think just given that circumstance, your last option there of not taking a high school kid and just going through the portal, you can get a redshirt freshman 4-year eligibility quarterback that is going to be highly touted because they will be available in the transfer portal. You can guarantee that there will be top-tier quarterbacks available in the portal. So I think that's maybe just considering the circumstances – the best course going forward. The
volatility works in your favor, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of volatility.
All right, when we come back, On3 came out with some post-spring Big Ten power rankings. We're going to discuss that. Where did Nebraska fall on that list? You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washed. As guys, I want to talk just some Big Ten post-spring power rankings. On3 came out with a list here today of just kind of ranking the conference, where everybody kind of sits coming out of the spring. And it's interesting because, I mean, look, let's face it. There are three teams that could win a national championship in this league right now, and I don't think anyone can argue that.
Nope.
Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. All of those teams are going to be between 10-2 and 12-0. Somebody's going to have to be 10-2, by the way, in that three. Yeah. In that threesome.
True.
Somebody could be 12-0, one could be 11-1. So when you're talking a 12-team playoff year, that would be a year where all those teams make it. And you got USC coming in the league as well. But after that, I mean, I think it's a significant drop-off.
Thank you for saying that.
When you get from three, I don't even know if there's a four. You know, I thought this was interesting. We'll talk more about Minnesota. But Minnesota plays Michigan. They play Ohio State, and they play Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota's crossover is tough. Iowa's crossover is tough. I mean,
Purdue's.
Everybody has a tough – I mean, And Wisconsin, yeah, they brought in the SMU quarterback transfer.
Mordecai.
That threw for all the yards there.
That also looked horrible in the spring game.
But Wisconsin last year, that was the most ordinary Wisconsin team that I've seen.
And they're four?
In my 12 years in the Big Ten.
And they're four in this ranking.
Right. Yeah.
Sean, 100%. That's a big drop from the top three. In fact, if I'm the commissioner, it just makes me a little uneasy. Not a lot. I mean, it's not anything. All these things are cyclical. But that's a pretty big divide. Because Penn State is a bona fide national title contender that doesn't get enough attention in that regard.
I mean, you still have three college football playoff contenders. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, maybe compared to the SEC, but compared to everybody else, it's pretty
good. It's good. I'm talking balanced, though.
Iowa's going to be Iowa. You know, they're going to be in that
are they?
8-win range, probably.
Are.
You know, and with Wisconsin, McNamara. Who knows with them. But I agree. The drop-off is significant. And then especially when you look at the West – and the fact that, you know, you have those crossover games being what they are, you know, the teams that are projected to be towards the top of the division, they're going to have to go through a gauntlet, both in their conference and non-conference schedules. So Nebraska, from a schedule standpoint, I mean, we'll see what we're saying after week two, but compared to other teams in their division, they're in a relatively decent spot, assuming they can get some of these questions answered.
Yeah, you look at the West, like 6-3 might win it this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
And I think it won it last year.
Won it last year, right.
6-3, 5-4. I mean, was Purdue 5-4?
They were 6-3.
Six and three is going to win the West. I don't think, if you're 7-2, bank on it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know with the crossovers involved, anybody's going to be able to get 7, just because that 4-5-6-7 grouping, and even 9-10, I mean, I think it's wide open. I mean, I think those six teams.
Yeah, it's wide open.
Could beat anybody. Could beat anyone. Like they could beat each other.
It's wide open. Mm-hmm. It'll be really close. The one that outside that realm, by the way, I wonder what Sparty fans think when they see Michigan State at 11 in Mel Tucker's third year
for $9 million a year.
Well, I think he's close to 10.
Signed that deal, and it's been all downhill.
Yeah, and then they incurred those massive losses to the portal. Their starting quarterback, their star receiver, and a starting corner.
All their best players off a bad team.
Yeah. So 11 Michigan State behind Nebraska.
How can you put – I mean, I get it. Purdue was good last year. But how can you put Purdue even over Nebraska
Hudson
right now?
Card. I mean, they brought in a quarterback, a real quarterback.
With a young rookie head coach.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know – well, Robin knows their personnel very well.
Yeah, so they've been hit hard by the portal. They lost 22 players to the portal. They brought in 16, but you're talking about, so Hudson Card is their guy. They need him to be everything in that air raid offense under Graham Harrell. If he misses any time, there are serious concerns about their quarterback depth. They got a walk-on and a true freshman as their two backups right now because their number two just followed Jeff Brohm to Louisville. So they lost their starting right tackle to the portal. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions in that regard, too, especially with this shift. You know, Purdue is hanging their hat on defense now, or at least going to try to while running an air raid.
Uh-huh.
That usually doesn't go hand in hand, where you're a defensive-minded team throwing the ball around like you're Mike Leach.
That is interesting.
So I'm curious to see how that blends together. Those are two very conflicting strategies.
I know Nebraska fans won't like to hear this, but I think Iowa's the team to beat in the West. I just think the addition of McNamara.
Cade McNamara. Eric Gall.
You got to remember.
Caleb Brown.
Their quarterback play the last couple of years has been the worst it's been.
Awful.
In a long time at Iowa. And that's gone now. And they've got a bona fide guy that's played in a college football playoff game and won a Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm. Cade McNamara. Now, Sean, it's true.
He's a manager, though.
It's true their quarterbacks were bad, but that wasn't the problem. I'm telling you. The problem was their offensive line.
The mobility of McNamara will help them.
That will. But that offensive line was not even close to Iowa standards. Not even close. In fact, if you go back and look, they weren't even running Iowa offense. They were just running whatever they could.
Junking it up.
I mean, it didn't look like Iowa. I mean, they weren't running just stretch right, stretch left. They're pounding at you, run and then play action. They were trying different crap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it was, they weren't very good at quarterback. But their offensive line was as bad as it's been in 10 years.
Here's a straw poll question for you. If Maryland was in the West, could they win the West this
100%.
Year?
Yes, 100%. That's a good straw poll. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes.
I mean, that's could, you look sure. at them as the fourth team in the East right now, but they easily could win the West.
100%.
Because Tagovailoa is back, right?
Yeah, they're all right. Now they wouldn't be my first pick. I'm gonna.
But they could go 8-4 in the West.
Yeah.
If they didn't have to play those, if they didn't have to play the schedule they're playing right now, so that's an interesting one to me is Maryland, because that's a dangerous fourth team.
It is.
And Nebraska plays Maryland in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting to see Rutgers ahead of Indiana. Rutgers is really down. Indiana's really down too, though.
Yeah, and Tom Allen. Could be in trouble.
Really down, yeah.
Think about Nebraska at Rutgers, how really poor down. They played on offense, and they won that game.
Yeah. Add it to the list.
I mean, just think about how ugly they played on offense.
Yep.
Nebraska in that game?
Yeah. Their defense played great, but the way Nebraska came and played offensively for almost three quarters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it was rough. You're right. I mean, at halftime, we were out, you know, we were out there. And I was, and I think I said to you guys, we came all the way out here for this. I mean, did they, Nebraska, had they scored by halftime?
Wasn't it 14-13 the game?
Yeah, the final was.
Noah Vedral scored
the final, but what was the score at halftime?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember.
I think it was 13-0.
I think they had a goose egg. They had a goose egg, right.
And it was like, ugly.
What are we doing out here? And then they, of course, they turned it around, won the game. Kudos. I mean, they were tough.
Well, the defense forced those turnovers. And yeah. Noah Vedral.
13-0.
13-0 at halftime.
So Noah Vedral in that game, you know, was hurt. And they were able to get him ready to play, but he couldn't go four quarters. Nope. And he looked good for a quarter and a half. And then it was over after that mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
God, that was just an awful game.
But Rutgers, they lost a lot, and they're not good.
The highlight of the game was the Nissan Titan truck in the parking lot.
Shout out to the T-Tan.
The T-Tan.
Oh, do we want to relive that?
If you're not familiar with the story.
Do we want to relive that?
I parked our vehicle. Game was at 7 out there. Yes. We pulled up to the stadium at 4.
Yeah.
And I accidentally left the truck running. And we come back to the car at 2 in the morning, let's call it.
Yeah. It was I don't know what, how many hours later?
10 hours later. And the truck was still running.
Yeah. We're walking in the dead of night. And it's a pretty long walk.
In an open field in New Jersey.
Yeah. And I said, is that our truck? Because it's on.
That might have been the highlight of the game at Rutgers.
It
was sort of remarkable how it caused no problem. We got in the truck. I remember saying,
"You go,
do not turn it off.
Off.
Do not turn that truck off. Do not turn it off. Just go. Drive.
Get the engine going."
And that was it. It was like you meant to do it.
And it only used a quarter tank of gas sitting there that whole day.
Yeah. Nissan Titans meant to idle for.
If you are sponsoring our show, we've got a new sponsor. Let's welcome in Nissan Titan.
Absolutely.
That was amazing. Now, think one other thing about that, though. Think if that thing wouldn't have run, what the fix we were in.
Yep.
So you called AAA.
1 or 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning in New Jersey.
Piscataway.
I'm sure you get great service. Yeah.
What could have gone wrong there?
I mean, if the Newark airport was any preview of what AAA at 2 in the morning was going to be like. I mean, the Newark airport.
We would have been sleeping in that truck. It would have been 7 a.m.
The Newark airport service is so bad that they don't even like let you talk to humans. It's all computerized. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Like, I haven't been that mad ordering food at an airport probably in my life.
Like, they've dressed it up. They try to
make that's right.
They
that
make
was
it
bad.
All like artsy fartsy and nice Robin. Looking. But you order on a computer.
Yeah.
And then people were just visibly yelling at each other in the background of the restaurants.
Really rough.
Yeah.
I do remember that now.
I threw away like a $30 pizza because it was just mush. It's awful. I was so angry.
I was trying to smooth it over like, oh, it's not that bad. But I was like, no, you can't eat that. You can't eat that. No,
it was inedible. Luckily, the bottled beers were nice and cool.
Yeah, thank God.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk more spring football. Sipple's got a good breakdown on Colorado.
Yeah.
The Buffaloes, by the way, are going to open on Fox against TCU. We're still awaiting word on when that Nebraska game in Boulder will be. We'll tell you about that next. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washek, continuing some post-spring football discussion, opponent discussion. I mentioned Colorado. We now know Deion Sanders will play his first game on Big Noon Kickoff on Fox against TCU on the road. So that's a Big 12 inventory game. What we don't know is the kickoff time for the Nebraska game in Boulder, which is a Pac-12 property. And if you've been following college football, and we'll get to this later in the discussion, there's a lot going on in Pac-12 and their media rights and the future of that league going forward. So hopefully we'll know in the coming days the early kickoff times. We're starting to learn some of them already around college football. And it's kind of cool, guys, to see CBS and NBC putting these Big Ten games on now. So, like, they're a part of the lineup. No more ABC ESPN on the Big Ten at all.
Man, that's a big adjustment.
Yeah. It is. So ESPNs are out of it. And that will be an adjustment for a lot of people.
Okay. It was 11 a.m. ESPN, two games.
Right. No go.
No go.
That's a huge blow to ESPN. I mean, you think about what the Big Ten 11 a.m. games were.
Yeah. At times.
Over the years.
Yeah.
There's some good nap material
there. There's some Purdue Northwesterns there, though. Yeah, that was good.
One of my favorite Big Ten ones was Michigan State 2011, Kirk Cousins. And they came in, and they were good. They were, like, top 10.
Yeah.
And Carl Pelini and Bo put in that scheme where everybody was standing up.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins didn't know it was coming. I mean, right. It was – and they just
– God, you have a great memory.
They just destroyed – I mean, that was like a game where everybody was fired up, and you were like, yeah! I mean, but a lot of 11 a.m. games, you just kind of barely get to your seat.
Yeah, that was that crowd was jacked up that day. You're right.
But anyway, let's get to Colorado. Nebraska back in Boulder for the first time since 2019. Sip, you talked to Brian Howell, correct?
Yes.
From the Boulder Daily Camera, and about as big of an expert as you're going to find on Colorado football. What was his view on the Buffaloes? And give us an idea. How many players are they bringing in?
All right. Those are two separate questions. I'll deal with them individually. First of all, Brian Howell's covered him forever. He's a 48-year-old beat writer for the Boulder Daily Camera, really plugged in. Now, he says the situation there isn't dire. It was fascinating talking to him for almost an hour and hearing this outlook on Colorado that is much different than I thought. I thought, oh, God, it's a freak show. How's he going to make this work? Well, this is what Howell said, Brian Howell, in terms of, for these previews, we do a win-loss expectation for the team in 2023. He said, I think the ceiling, this is Brian Howell, I think the ceiling for this team is a bowl game. You know, 6 to 7 wins is the ceiling. If they're anything better than that, I'd be a little surprised. If they were worse than 4-8, I'd also be a little surprised. Well, does that sound familiar to you guys? That sounds like Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might be a pretty good game, September 9th in Boulder.
I just don't know how you can say that, though, because you're talking 50 new scholarship players. Is that about right?
Yeah, here's what he said. Okay, so the second part of your question, I asked him just how massive is this roster overhaul. And he said between freshmen and transfers, okay, scholarship players, between freshmen and transfers, there's going to be at least 50 guys out of the 85 scholarship players who will go through their first initial practice as Buffs in August.
That's crazy.
50. That's crazy. So, Sean, I get where you're coming from. You know, they're bringing in at least 30 to 40 transfers this offseason, which, by the way, according to Howell, is fine with Colorado fans. Mm-hmm. He said the fans are loving it. He said this team was so bad last year. It hasn't been relevant much in recent years. Everybody's excited because the last 2 years have been brutal. To put that in perspective, they lost games last year by an average of 29 points a game. That's by far the worst in the country. Mm. The next Power 5 team was Rutgers, 18. So, I mean, come on. It was so you can see why inside that bubble, they look at it like, okay, bring it on.
It can only get better. That's the mentality.
So, like, long term, I get that. But as far as, like, what it means for the matchup versus Nebraska, that's a lot to try to build around starting in August with 50 players having their very first practice as Colorado Buffaloes together.
Oh, God, yeah.
In order to get ready to go play TCU and then host Nebraska, which they're going through their transition, but they're in a lot more solid footing than Colorado is right now. So, year one, I don't know, just to put the floor at 4-8, I don't know, man.
It's going to be, you know, that day, as you guys know, it'll be jam-packed. Mm-hmm. That place will be jam-packed.
With Nebraska fans, too.
Right. Yeah, Howell thought a third, you know, like kind of like you'd expect. So
that's the most expensive ticket in the nation right now.
It is going to be wild. Yeah. That'll be wild.
It's like $500 or $600 bucks for tickets.
So where are they good? I mean, it was fascinating talking to Howell. He said... Well, first of all, Shedeur Sanders is a pretty good quarterback and maybe a very good quarterback. He was very good. Shedeur Sanders was very good at Jackson State. Completed 70% of his passes last year, 3,752 yards, 40 touchdowns, only six picks. That's a far cry. Jackson State, of course, is a far cry from the Power Five. But where they feel they're strong is a Sanders and wide receiver. They have the top two receivers from South Florida's roster last year, the leading two receivers, Jimmy Horn being the one they're really excited about. He can fly. And then there's a lot of intrigue with Travis Hunter, who is a corner, five-star recruit in high school, but he's also playing receiver. So they feel like they have speed at receiver and playmakers at receiver. Couple that with Shedeur Sanders. And then they feel they're really good about their edge rushers. They brought in a guy from Arkansas that they really like. They just feel like that group. Who else do they have? One second. Oh, maybe I don't have it. Oh, yes, I do. Here it is. Jordan Dominick's the kid from Arkansas who had 7.5 sacks at Arkansas last year. And then they bring in Derek McClendon, who was a 12-game starter for Florida State last year. So they like that part.
Seems to me, if you're in Nebraska, this is a game where you just power. You run the ball right at them. Because all these things you're talking about, they're perimeter.
Agree.
They're skill. How's Nebraska going to win that game? Trenches.
Strength and conditioning, too. Yeah. They're going to have a significant – I don't care what you say. There is no way they're going to have that team ready from a strength and conditioning standpoint if you push them to four quarters.
Nope.
Deion's going to play that, you saying that.
I hope so.
I just made
a big meme of his face with that
quote. And
it's
no knock on their talent. They're bringing in guys. I get it.
Yeah.
But just to get new guys already physically
right,
fed properly.
Nutrition, right.
Adjusted to the altitude.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand.
I mean, everyone remembers the first time they go to Colorado and that how out of breath you are.
Mm-hmm. You can't take a deep enough breath.
Right.
That's how I would describe it.
Yeah. So, no, I get it, where you're coming from. It's so, yeah, maybe Howell, like we do, is drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit.
It's probably hard not to if you're in that bubble.
Environment, yeah.
You got the national spotlight on you. Everything is, you know, just love and praise and all that stuff. But I don't know, man. That's quite the undertaking to try to have a team go to a bowl game with that much roster.
Let's see what TCU
turnover.
Does to them the week before.
Yeah, I know. That one could get ugly.
Well, maybe. I mean, Brian Howell is a very veteran reporter. I don't think he's prone to, you know, going overboard with assessments. So I was very intrigued by what he had to say.
All right. When we come back, we're going to bring in Abby Barmore. We're going to take your questions in the mailbag. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. Let's welcome in the very popular Abby Barmore to the program. She's YouTube famous. She's got her own following in the comments every week.
Cult following.
We get
it's
a lot
probably
of
my parents.
Hi, Abby. I didn't know.
More Abby Barmore, please. Well, Abby Barmore, welcome back. Let's do some mailbag talk.
All right, here we go. What are the most intriguing position battles that you're watching during fall camp?
I think for me on offense, running back jumps out to me just how it's going to shake out. Is it truly Anthony Grant? Is it Gabe Irvin, who was the 2021 starter, or even Ramir Johnson? Like, what will that look like with that group? And then on defense, I'm really intrigued at linebacker. John Bullock, has he done enough to maybe win a job? Where's Nick Henrich at in the discussion coming off a major knee injury?
Coming off a major knee injury in a different style of defense that asks different things from its middle linebackers, where speed is now more of an emphasis than ever. You know, I'm no knock on Nick. I just don't know if that's his strength, especially compared to an athlete like John Bullock. And when you have Matt Rhule going on the radio and saying that John Bullock has NFL potential, that catches your attention. And for me, that changed that entire conversation. Where you pair that with MJ Sherman looking like a team captain coming out of spring ball, and now the rise of John Bullock, that inside linebacker position could look a lot different this fall.
Yeah, or they could just have a nice rotation, you know.
They're going to play a lot of guys.
Yeah, and I think Henrich is – he'll be part of this. Will he be a starter? I don't know. And you're right. The speed element is mm-hmm. the thing to watch. With, I mean, Henrich has been hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And what coaches would tell you off the record is a lot of it's because he's a little undersized, not that fast. So he has to strain a lot. There's a lot of strain. Everything he does is pretty difficult. And that can lead to injuries.
And he plays so many snaps.
That too.
He's been on the field a lot the last 2 years. Win healthy.
Reimer's undersized as well, but he is fast. Mm. You don't question his speed.
All right. Which incoming freshman position group will provide the biggest impact, and which position group needs their freshman to make the biggest impact?
You know this one. It's the rushers. Prince Will and the kid from...
Yeah,
out east.
I mean, there's potential starters.
Help me
in
out
that
with
group.
Sean, the kid out east, Cam Lenhart.
Yeah. I mean, then even Maverick Noonan.
Yeah, mainly Prince.
Noonan's going to play though.
Yeah, mainly Prince Well and Cam Lenhart.
Cam Lenhart, they could be potential black shirts. Yeah, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know. Yeah. That's a good question. True freshman in that spot.
It's a two-sided conversation, right there.
See, you got to do this thing where you get out of the bubble. Don't say, oh, this is what they look like in the spring game.
If you were a Colorado writer calling a Nebraska writer about spring ball, and you're talking about two true freshmen potentially starting at the edge.
In the Big Ten against the tackles against the tackles you see in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, that those are grown men.
Yep.
And they're usually really good. Yeah.
These guys are good, but they're not like Boses. You know, they're not going to come in and be like five-star, hit-the-ground-running freshman All-American.
Right.
Like, could be. But you don't project that right now.
But I think they are going to be impacting guys.
Yeah. They look great this spring. Oh, wide receiver, too, probably. I mean, I know
maybe
they got some...
one guy could come out of
that group. But just given the volume of that freshman class, the odds would suggest one of them could work their way into the rotation.
The receivers.
Especially if some of those veteran guys, for whatever reason, you know, don't pan out.
I mean, I got to think that would be Malachi Coleman or Jaden Dawes.
They seem like the front runners.
Yeah.
What do you got next?
How do you see the Husker softball team doing in Stillwater this weekend?
Tough draw. They're 0-4 against Wichita State and Oklahoma State. And as you know, Oklahoma State, you know, they're one of the top programs in the country. I covered softball many years ago. I covered the team that went to the College World Series.
What year was that?
It would have been 2002.
Is that the Peaches James?
Yeah, Amanda Buchholz was a good player on that team. There were some good players. I mean, Jennifer Lozama was a good player for Rhonda Revelle back then. They were a powerhouse. I mean, they were a top 15 type team in those. I covered really two full. I did play by play for. I was like Nate Rohr before Nate Rohr. KRNU, the student radio, was the affiliate for softball. The radio network wasn't carrying the games. And so I would do a lot of games.
I'll be darned.
Funny story calling softball games. My play-by-play, this is typical for like student radio. The guy I was supposed to do the game with didn't show up.
No show.
And so I was at the Daily Nebraska, and Sam McEwen was with me working as a sports editor. Told him what happened, and Sam just says, I'll call it with you. So Sam and I called a softball game.
That is unbelievable.
And it was a great call. I'm like, I'm not just, it was.
I'll bet it was.
Like,
I'm not kidding.
It was a great call. Yeah. Like we had a lot of fun doing it. I'm sure Sam remembers it too.
That's fascinating, Sean. It's a good story. Thank you.
What do you got next, Abby?
Which Big Ten West team gained the most from the transfer portal and who lost the most?
That's a tough
one. Iowa gained the most. I mean, you got.
What about Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Well, go Iowa first, Rob.
Well, McNamara, first and foremost, and then the tight end and the
Eric
receiver.
Hall.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they got, in theory, three important starters on offense. When you pair that with everything that they would, you expect their defense to be good, you expect your special teams to be as good as any in the country, their offense can be just good enough. Iowa's the clear favorite in the West. So I think just with the additions they needed to make, they did it. They checked it almost every box.
I think Wisconsin, though, with what they added under Luke Fickell, it was a pretty impressive haul. I mean, It's going to be a different looking team.
But they had to, given the total identity shift that they did.
Guys, Nebraska got five starters made.
Nebraska's in that conversation, too.
Billy Kemp, Jeff Sims. I mean, you could argue Sherman's going to be a starter.
Three. Who are the other two?
Now I'm blanking on the names. I shared them in the chats. MJ Sherman, Billy Kemp, one of the tight end. I mean, you could argue the tight end could be a starter.
Perhaps Eric Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Scott.
Ben Scott. Yeah. So you got three on offense. And then Elijah Judy on defense.
Mm-hmm. Judy's going to start.
Like, if not start, play.
Oh, he'll start. He looked good in the spring game. I liked that. I liked what Judy looked
like. And now we know, I mean, there were some impacts why Stephon Wynn left.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was down to probably 5 to 10 snaps a game is what you're looking at with Stephon Wynn. Yeah, Judy came in and established himself. He looked better than Wynn to me. Mm-hmm. Moved better, more active, more athletic. And that's hence Wynn's departure, I think.
All right, what do you got next?
All right, we've had a lot of questions about this one. So what is the latest on Arik Gilbert's waiver? Have you guys heard anything?
I feel like anytime you bring it up with Matt Rhule, it's almost like a non-starter. It's just like, nope.
No update. Like, which is what he said in his last radio appearance on the Husker Sports Network last week. Yeah, they were asked specifically about it. He said no update. And that was the update, was that there was no update. So, to be determined.
That's it.
So that's what we got. What do you got next, Abby?
Are we ready for our last one yet? It's a talker.
Okay, yeah, final question.
Okay.
We better give it some time. Yeah.
Top three places you would want to see a college football game that you have not been to yet.
Well, and to be fair, Robin and I have been to every Big Ten and every Big 12 stadium. Mm-hmm. And we've been to
a lot of Pac-12s
already, and we've been to only three ACCs: Virginia Tech, Wake Forest,
Miami.
Right. So we've been to Notre Dame. So like I have not,
which is so they would be in my top three.
I think just going to Alabama and Florida.
Yeah,
those
LSU at night.
Yeah, I mean,
so you get concentrate on the SEC. Basically,
yeah. I haven't been to any SEC venue, so just. Pick one.
Okay. Nebraska hasn't played SEC non-conference games since like the 80s.
Right.
You know, there was a little run where they would play like South Carolina and Auburn. You know, they had Florida State for a little while in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Back when your non-conference schedule was like all Power 5 teams.
God, yeah. Where would you want to go? I mean, besides the obvious ones, like LSU's obvious, I'd want to go there.
Yeah.
I'd want to go between the hedges. I'd love to see Between the Hedges live. Mm-hmm. What that looks like.
About it, like at Army or Navy, seeing Nebraska?
Robin had that in his answer today in the chat. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I wouldn't want to go because of the weather. I just want to be in warmth. So.
You just want to go to El Paso.
I'd go to Tucson, for instance. I'd be interested.
Well, going to Tucson. Hey, Tennessee's up there for me.
I'm going to Tucson.
Nebraska plays in Tucson down the road.
Oh, God.
Do you know what year?
That's right, they do. You're right.
Yeah, it's coming up in the next 4 or 5 years.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to Tucson.
So you'll be working for me still then.
I hope so.
God willing.
I'll make a Mexican restaurant reservation right now.
Don't challenge him. He'll do it.
4 years out?
2027.
He's got proof.
As long as you promise not to order the top shelf margarita. Yeah. We're in Indianapolis. I'm like, I'll get you a drink. And he orders a $25 margarita.
I get the $28 mezcal smoky margarita.
It was like $25. I'm like, what are you?
Was it worth it?
Anyway, Tucson would be a good place to go.
So they play in Lincoln in 28, and I believe it's supposed to probably 29.
Oh yeah, we'll be working.
28.
Yeah, we'll be
Tennessee.
Thriving.
We got Tennessee, and the game I'm really intrigued in is Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In 2025, mm-hmm. Nebraska's supposed to go there, but mm-hmm. the game that was in Lincoln, the 2020 game, got canceled, the COVID.
Okay.
So to me, it's like a window to move that game to neutral site.
Oh yeah, and you're saying Vegas.
Vegas, but now with Matt Rhule, maybe he'll want to play a game in Dallas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Houston.
So just for a correction, the Arizona game in Tucson is 2031. You're going to have to hold on for a couple more years.
I got 51.
Jiminy Christmas. God. When you put it that way.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Just hold in there.
We will be here, but we'll be on a spaceship, but we'll be here.
That's right.
We'll teleport. Abby, where do you want to go?
Well, I haven't.
Yeah, where do you want to go?
I haven't been a ton of places, so I would love to see the Penn State wideout game. Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. Ohio State and Michigan in either place.
Okay.
And also fun. Just the Rose Bowl. It's a classic.
Oh, God, yeah.
Rose Bowl was a real deal.
Yeah, Rose Bowl, maybe should top your list, actually.
Going to the old Cotton Bowl Stadium.
You like that, don't you?
That was cool, wasn't it?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was.
It was.
It was.
Just
no doubt.
The nostalgia, the history. Nostalgia. Seeing just
the fair was there.
Yeah.
They had the fair going.
It was like a 9 in the morning kickoff, but
yeah. No, you're right. That was pretty cool, actually.
It was.
God, it seems like a long time ago, though.
2006.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
I mean, yes, it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. I went to a Cowboys game and a Suns-Mavericks game on that trip, and it was all covered by the Cotton Bowl.
One of the best bowl games ever.
And my dad went with me. He went with me to those games, and he went to the NHL hockey game, too. I mean, they like the media gets like just VIP treatment.
Stretch limo car service from the media hotel to the Cowboys game that dropped you off right in front of your gate.
That's amazing.
Over the top for a bunch of just like sloppy sports writers showing up pulling out of this.
What I remember was the media day, how great it was for the bowl game. Like they just had all 100 players from Nebraska or whatever it was in their jerseys.
Yeah, it was like Super Bowl media.
And they're like, you got an hour, guys. Just go out here. And I mean, it was like just going on a hunting trip and the birds were just laying out everywhere.
Analogy.
I mean, there it was. And that was like, a good
metaphor.
A non-dating analogy.
At that time, like freshmen were off limits, but not at Cotton Bowl Media Day.
Right. I
mean, like you could just go up to anyone you wanted.
Right, remember that.
And just, I don't know, that was a fun bowl game for me. And now it's in the new Cowboys Stadium, which is obviously awesome too.
Yeah. It's just nice to hear you talk about bowl games. I mean, it's got to happen again here.
You see the early projection? You used to probably say this is the Vegas Bowl. So like that, I think it was Brett McMurphy.
Brett McMurphy of the Action Network.
Network.
Paired Nebraska against Utah.
Which the line would be
11.
Nebraska plus 11.
Yeah. Utah by 11, whatever. It'd be
whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to Vegas for a week.
That wouldn't be bad.
We'd figure out how to cover that game, guys.
Yeah, we'd find a way.
When we come back, we're going to close the show, talk a little basketball and some other topics. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, talking Nebraska basketball because Fred Hoiberg is still mixing up that drink. He's still trying to get things situated. By the way, Robin, I saw kind of a metric, whatever, over-under kind of deal. That has Nebraska maybe right now today being a 10-10 team in the Big Ten.
Which would be very good with that non-conference schedule. I mean, you're well over 500 at that point. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen, with the Big Ten schedule, they don't need to have a top 10 strength of schedule ranking every year, which they've been doing far too often. So they've scheduled a lot more sensibly. The full schedule isn't out yet, but we know a good chunk of it. And really, outside of Creighton, Kansas State, and then now Oregon State up in Sioux Falls. Like that might be it for high major games.
That's enough.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you got two top preseason top 25 teams there, plus another high major.
Yeah.
And then you just pad some wins at home with the 20-game Big Ten slate.
That's enough.
If they go 10-10 in the league, we're talking about bubble.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, I've said it a few times. I like the roster he's put together because of the amount of shooters, guys who can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and guys shoot the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, but if they do that, they take pressure off Casey. I don't know if that's Fred's intention, but that's what it looks like to me.
Well, they can't just continue to run it all through Casey.
Right.
They don't especially have to. Now that he's going to be number one on everybody's scouting report.
Don't have to.
So, yeah, I mean, they've surrounded him with a bunch of shooters. You got another big man that can facilitate out of the high post and Rink Mass. So, it's right now a pretty complete picture with that roster. They do have two open scholarships, Sean, like you mentioned, so they're still trying to fill those. But it doesn't seem like they're stressing to fill it. Like they're being very picky with how they're going about those two open spots. And so the immediate question is, well, who are they going to go after? Well, the one name that we know is Emeli Jalaho from Finland, 6'8", 230-pound, unsigned 2023 recruit out of Western Reserve Academy in Hudson, Ohio. Coincidentally, the same high school as, why can't I think of his name right now? Big kid. Oleg Koyanets, thank you.
Good job.
So you know, that's a connection there. He just took an official visit this past weekend. By all reports, you know, he said it went pretty well. He really liked the staff there. So, you know, man, a few words.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, and then the next day, he heads down to Texas Tech. So right now, it would appear to be a two-horse race there, unless he schedules another visit. He's got to hurry up and make a decision pretty soon, because for 2023 recruits, the spring signing period, I think, ends this week. So we should probably hear something on that relatively soon. If they get him, then he's kind of that perfect fit for a replacement for Wilhelm Breidenbach, where he's a younger four-man that they can develop. He's not going to need to come in and play extensive minutes right away. He can give you good depth, but kind of one of those guys where, you know, you got a lot of veterans in that front court with Alec, Gary, Mast, that are only going to be here for another year or two. Having a younger guy that you can kind of develop to be that next player up, I think would be a lot of value. So I think that's the direction they go with one of those spots, whether it's Jalaho or somebody else. And then for that other spot, I think they're still going to try to get another guard, another ball handler. Mm-hmm. And ideally, you know, this is just my opinion. If they can get somebody out of the portal that's better than Aaron Ulis, I think that would be the picture-perfect scenario. A point guard. A guy that can come in and be your lead guard. Now, I don't know any names or how likely that is, but I think if they could get that type of player where Ulis is your number two, mm-hmm. then I think they're going to be feeling really good. But
it's interesting.
But if they don't, I think they're very content having Ulis be their primary lead
guard. I wonder what Ulis would say to this conversation. Would he have come here if he thought, okay, well, I might be their number two, actually?
Yeah, you would hope they'd be honest with him, though. Yeah. I mean, and again, like with the way that they play, it's like there's not just one point guard spot, you know. So I mean, like, right. He can play off the ball, he can play on the ball. So again, that's just me. I'm not saying this is like Fred's master plan, but like if they can upgrade that, because just talking with people from Iowa, you know, there's questions about Ulis just with his consistency.
Sure,
you know, he's not the star power guy like a Kerr Creasa or anything like that. So I think if they could balance out somebody with a little more offense with Ulis,
okay.
That would be like a more scoring lead guard. So you can have your perimeter defense, pace controller, facilitator in Ulis, and then the guy that can go get you a bucket and facilitate, you know, similar to a Verge type guy. Not Verge, but Verge, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got it.
people don't like it when I mention that name.
I don't know. I've always
been pretty good.
I've always
late season Verge. How about that?
Yes,
not early season Verge. Late season Verge.
Because what's burned in my memory is the late season Verge, who was
him against Wisconsin,
fabulous,
just cooking Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, unguardable.
Ohio State. Yeah.
Yeah. Verge came on that season. I give him that. Shooters. Jamarcus Lawrence can shoot the lights out.
Williams
can shoot the lights out. Mass is a good shooter.
Yeah, Wiltshire back.
Yeah, Wiltshire can shoot it when he gets
going.
Yeah,
when he's hot, he can shoot it.
He's got a beautiful shot. He should be more consistent. He's got a beautiful-looking shot. I don't know why he's not more consistent.
Juwan Gary can be a threat. He can be a threat.
They got scores, which that's what I like. That's
Rink Mass can shoot the three.
Mass can shoot it.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. Guys, as we wrap it up, I want to also hit on just some of the conference realignment talk, because – that continues to drive things. And I know it feels like every summer we talk about this, but it is getting real. I thought Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated had a great story this week.
He did.
Kind of just sizing everything up. It's everyone's kind of in their tents right now, getting ready for battle, you know, and everyone's
not everybody.
The three leagues.
Right.
And you got the Pac-12 waiting on their media rights deal and what that's going to do. You've got the Big 12 trying to convince Pac-12 members to join them. And you've got seven ACC teams that have kind of tried to break away from the league, potentially, to see if they can get out of this grant of rights agreement that holds them hostage to the ACC and even ESPN, for that matter, until 2036.
Correct. So there's a few issues that are, I mean, broad issues that the leaders of collegiate sports have to consider. This is a big one. How do the Big 12, Pac-12, and ACC keep up competitively while generating millions of dollars less than the SEC and the Big Ten? How do you, now, and we're talking a gap of $30 million per team. That's the problem. That's why Florida State is making a lot of noise in the ACC saying we can't be a college football power in this scenario. If we're bringing in annually $30 million less than Ohio State, how do we keep up?
Or Florida.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, right. Look at their own neighbors. State.
Yeah. Yeah, your neighbors. Yeah, so that's that. The Notre Dame athletic director's name is Jack Swarbrick. He said the big next issue is, can we keep the perception of college athletics as involving all of us? Or does the Big Ten and SEC become college athletics in terms of popular perception? And if they do, how does that influence the shape, or how does that influence the shape of college athletics in the future? I mean, the Big Ten and SEC are sitting in a great spot in their own situations, but they have to consider the big picture. Mm-hmm. What is this good for college athletics? This gap, I'd say no.
The greed, though, is there.
Well, of course it is. I mean, you're right.
Is there any turning back at this point?
Somebody's got to get it under control.
How?
This is why I don't, Sean. I read that article, and the thing that occurs to you is, if you're a fan of college athletics right now, as it is, college football as it is, you don't want the Pac-12 to dissolve, because that means tidal wave of change.
Yeah.
You would like to see the Pac-12. Stay together, these 10 teams stay together, because if they don't, the tidal wave's coming, and you don't know what that's going to look like. Now, there's also a school of thought that maybe they'll stay together with this next media rights deal, but they'll be dead man walking 4 or 5 years, and then it'll blow up.
Just a Band-Aid.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I continually wish and almost all aspects of my life, it was still 1985.
But the money is never going to get there for these other leagues. Like, that gap is going to be there no matter what.
Yeah.
What?
No. That financial gap is not going away no matter what you do. And there's teams that know they have the value of these teams and these leagues, the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And they want to be up there. Uh-huh. And you can't have them compete when they're getting $30 million less a year over 10 years.
I know, but like Swarbrick said, is this what you want college athletics to be, just the SEC and the Big Ten?
Well, it's already become, that's what I'm saying. It's already, like, gone that way.
Like, how do you reverse course now?
I don't know.
Like, if this was such a concern, you should have done something about it a long time ago you let it get to this point.
There's no the NCAA has no power over this.
No, yeah. This is not an NCAA matter that you can point at the NCAA and say, how'd you let it be? No, it's not that.
So who's in control? The TV networks?
Media.
Yeah.
Media.
And so are they going to do what's best for college football? No. They're going to do what's going to make them the most money.
Right.
And this goes back to the history of college football, where the bowl games controlled the championships. Absolutely. Which never allowed the NCAA to control the championship.
Oh, boy.
Like March Madness, like the College World Series, like the FCS playoffs in Frisco, Texas. The NCAA controls those events. They don't control any of this, mm-hmm. which has led to this.
Well, we have these conversations about how we'd like to see Nebraska play these non-conference games against, you want them to be formidable, right, on one breath, but then the next breath you say, oh, there's just no way it can be that way. Well, come on. I mean, I want college football to have a range of teams that are competitive with each other, not just two conferences and then the rest.
Where the money's is silly.
Right.
Where, like, if you have a good assistant coach or a good player, SEC and Big Ten teams are going to be able to buy your coach
right.
or your player.
Is that healthy?
It's not healthy, but you can't stop it. How do you stop?
Yeah, that's more my, like, I'm with you. Like, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to, especially college football. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the way it was in the 90s, I think, was the pinnacle of the sport. And when the BCS computers started getting involved and all that sort of thing, it's just kind of been this natural progression where it's not the same sport anymore. It's a different game.
It's
different leagues. The landscape is unrecognizable compared to where it was 30 years ago.
I don't know if it's too much to ask these conference commissioners to say Pac-12 will stay together and we'll figure this out. Do you just want the Pac-12 to dissolve?
The presidents,
I don't
care about their money, though.
I know.
It's about survival for, I think, a lot of those schools where they're trying to get on the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to get on the lifeboat, and there's only X amount of spots.
It's not a charity.
Yeah. No, I know. I understand that.
And there's schools that don't put it nearly the amount of resources into their programs that are supposed to be on the same footing.
Washington State and Oregon State are in trouble.
Yeah, like Cal compared to Oregon State USC.
Oregon State just won 10 games.
I know, but the long-term financial viability of their conference future is in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep,
I know.
Because they're not attractive to the Big 12.
Talk about streaming games now.
I mean they're going to be in the Mountain West. If all this happens, the Mountain West will get some of those teams. But the Pac-12 would like to add San Diego State and maybe SMU.
And SMU.
But does that do anything?
No. Might keep them together.
But and the only carrot is like, hey, we would keep a bid to the playoff.
Right.
We get one team in every year.
This is contingent on them working toward a media rights deal that is sustainable, not just like how much of it is streaming. They're talking about streaming. It's like, come on, what are we doing? Yeah. I mean, it's got to be viable.
They're doing exclusive streaming NFL playoff games
on Peacock.
Maybe they're doing some forward thinking here.
Okay, that could be. I hope you're right.
But if Washington and Oregon get an opportunity to go to the Big Ten, even at a reduced rate of, say, 70%, they're going.
Okay, now this is where I say, aren't there any leaders? I know I sound like a quack right now, but aren't there any leaders that would say, no, we're not going to do this. Keep the Pac-12 together. Big Ten, we don't need to take Oregon and Washington.
I mean, it'd be like a situation where you were offered okay, PGA and LIV Golf, just being offered silly money to leave the PGA to go play LIV.
LIV Golf isn't healthy. It's not a great example.
I'm just saying, like, you're saying, yeah, I'm going to make $300,000 a year in the PGA when LIV is offering me $5 million a year.
Right. But look what it's done to the sport. Mm-hmm. It's not been necessarily good for the sport of golf, right? Split all that up, to split the talent over this league where nobody follows it. They're playing in short pants with music going.
It's not on TV.
It's on TV. It's on a network that's not very prominent. It's on.
But you must get it at your house.
Yeah, but I do. But that's not a good example because golf is a bit of a turnoff now for people. Do you want college football to be a turnoff for people?
Yeah, I mean,
unless you exist in the SEC and the Big Ten.
I think that's just the way it's.
We're so far down the road.
Yeah, I just don't think there's this world of turning back and changing everything. I think we're past that point.
All right, on that depressing note.
Like it or love it.
Two straight weeks where we've ended on a depressing note.
On that note, make sure you're on Husker Online.
The sport is ruined.
Full coverage of Nebraska baseball at Purdue. They're going to Omaha, baby, to the Big Ten tournament.
That's a positive. That's Let's
and
go.
So next week we'll talk about Omaha for Will Bolt, Nebraska baseball. If you're not a member of Husker Online, check us out. 6 months right now for $29.99. Like, follow, subscribe to us here, not only on YouTube, but anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you check us out at huskeronline.com.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.